Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
And there are people that will do that sort of thing. Oh, how can the work of God go on if I have to fly business class? I just don't see how it's going to happen. You go, oh, we got to buy him a jet. We got to buy him his own plane. And it does go on. And it is a huge problem. And Paul was warning him about this, you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 5. The Apostle Paul talking about the whole danger that we run into with false teachers. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, Paul said this, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, which from come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wrangling of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain." And he says, remove yourself from such people, for godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, you know, what Paul was saying is, man, you know, you guys have probably been burned by these false teachers who've come in, who said, yeah, we've got this great new doctrine for you. You've got to be circumcised to be saved. And, you know, in light of us enlightening you on this and telling you what real salvation is all about, you know, a little something for the effort. He's going, you know, be careful with that. Be careful that you don't react to all of that. And you don't think it was a big problem. In my study for this, there's this book that was written called the Didache. It comes from, roughly around, the early hundreds. In the time of Christ, and the Didache was, I guess, the rough equivalent of Calvary Distinctives, if you've ever read that book. You know, it wasn't divinely inspired, but it was supposed to be, you know, kind of the churches and the apostles take on tricky issues that would come up. And one of the things that the Didache said is this, and I think this is a crack up because it shows you the more things change, the more they stay the same. It says, "Let every apostle who comes to you be received as the Lord, but he shall not remain more than one day, 2 days or three if there's a need. But if he remains 3 days, he's a false prophet." I guess it's the old adage, you know, fish and house guests stink after 3 days. I guess false prophets would as well. And it says, "And when the apostle goes away, let him take nothing but bread until he lodges. If he asks for money, he's a false prophet." Wow. Why do you think that got down in the Didache? Because there are all these people out there trying to scam the saints, trying to fleece the flock, trying to get some dough out of God's devoted people. You know, the bottom line is this. Giving is a grace. It's a get-to and not a got-to. And we shouldn't let the fact that there are religious scam artists out there scare us off from being a part of the grace of giving. Probably the best way to make sure you're not reacting to a bad experience where someone was just trying to get into your wallet and so on is this, you know, be a critical spiritual consumer before you give. Before you decide you're going to invest in a ministry, take a good hard look at the people who are involved. You know, Jesus put it this way, that the one who blesses a prophet in his name is going to receive a prophet's reward. Would you want to support someone who teaches the way this person teaches or lives the way this person lives? Because you're going to see when you get to heaven, your reward is going to be a reflection of that. And so we shouldn't be afraid of giving because we've been burned in the past. Because, you know, again, the usher, you know, with the bag or whatever, you know, kind of sat there and said, come on, that's all you can give, you know, pony up. You know, or maybe you're in a church situation where they'd send you, a monthly bill for your faith pledge, and it just became such a huge drag. So many people will react against these strong-arm tactics where people say, oh, the work of God is going to end unless you send in your love gift today. Well, if the work of God is dependent on your silly love gift today, maybe the work of God needs to end. You know, God, where God guides, he provides. God's not cheap. He's not broke. He's not a little short this month. You know, but the glorious thing is when we give, we get to participate with God and his blessings to other people. And that's the way we need to look at it. And so Paul reminds him of this. Just because you've been burned by these so-called spiritual mucky mucks, these individuals who thought that they were up here and you guys are down there and they deigned to spend time with you and, you know, and here's your bill, you know, don't let that keep you from, first of all, receiving good things from a sincere teacher of God. And secondly, don't let that keep you from either financially, tangibly, or even personally being able to encourage those teachers of God. Don't let that false teacher ruin you for receiving solid teaching. And so Paul puts this here for our caution here. The next caution he gives is a caution against reaction in doctrine. You know, like we said, Paul has carpet bombed the whole idea of being made right with God by keeping commandments, by keeping the Jewish law. He just wiped it out. And so it would be very easy, in a sense, to go, oh, okay, I don't want to fall into that trap. So I'm going to go the other way. If I'm saved by grace, if I'm not saved by being good, well, then maybe I can be bad. Well, here's a note of caution about that. Verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, notice the first thing we're told here. Don't be deceived. Don't be led astray by legalists. But don't be deceived as well by the other flood of false teaching that's going to come in. People that say it doesn't matter what you do in your life. You can just go ahead and live up, sin up a storm and God will forgive you. It's interesting. Notice it says, don't be deceived, don't be led astray by these false teachers. Why? God is not mocked. God's not mocked. That word mocked there, again, another vivid word in the original language. The word mocked literally means in the Greek to turn your nose up at something. Oh, I think I know better than God. Wow, someone's saying they know better than God. That's pretty cheeky, right? Maybe they wouldn't say it out loud. But when someone is so nervy that they think they can play God's people for cash, or that somehow they and they alone are the possessors of truth, and God is lucky to have them on their team, basically they're turning up their nose at it. They're looking at God and they're treating him as something inferior. They're using God to accomplish their ends. In other words, instead of God being Lord and we're the servants, God becomes the servants and we're the Lord. Because don't be deceived, God isn't mocked. He doesn't go for this kind of arrangement. Why? For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For whoever sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now here we see another problem, right? The equal and opposite reaction to legalism is licentiousness. If Satan can't get you by being a stuck-up Pharisee, he will get you into the silk jammies with a pipe looking like Hugh Hefner. He doesn't care, because either way, you're lost. And Paul is guarding against this sort of thing. And believe it or not, this early heresy that you first had to become Jewish in order to receive the Jewish Messiah was going to be quickly followed with the exact opposite doctrine. In the book of Jude, verse 3, listen to what Jude had to say about the false teaching he had to deal with. He said, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, as these guys say, "Oh, yeah, those Judaizers, man. Oh, wouldn't want to be one of them. So I'm going to go all the way over here and say, hey, anything that stimulates my nerve endings is cool. It can't be wrong because it feels so right." And there were people that were buying into that and thinking that they were being very spiritual by buying into that sort of thing. Now notice this phrase, whatever man sows, this he will also reap. The word reap there comes from a word that would denote the summer harvest. You know, the end of the line, you know, the major crop being brought in at the end of the year. This picture in the original language carries the idea of this. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, when God comes to gather his harvest, we're going to find out what kind of person we really are. And there are some people that are good at wearing the mask. There are some people that are good about having a double life. There are some people who are one way when they're around the people of God and another way when they're not. And sometimes we even, institutionalize it in our lives. We make it a practice. We confuse it with godliness. You know, sometimes I believe there is around the church here, maybe about a quarter mile out, a force field. And when people begin to penetrate this force field, a strange transformation comes over them. Because outside of that force field, they're driving to church and they're yelling at the kids and their wife is saying, "You're an idiot and I can't believe you did this and this." And then they get inside the quarter mile mark and and suddenly they are speaking in King James English. They suddenly have this holy glow and a halo in just the right spot. They strike poses like the apostles of old. "I art fine, brother. Are you rejoicing with much joy and wailing and gnashing of teeth as I art?" You know, the funny thing is, sometimes these people give it to me. You know, at the door, you know, greeting people, saying, "Oh, yes, yes, pastor, I'm doing great. I'm living the 100% Christian life and all this stuff." Oh, fine, whatever. That's not what I heard from your kid, you know, coming in, but... You know, if that's your fantasy, I'll be tattoo. You know, I just... Because God, at the end of the day, isn't convinced. You know, you can put on all of the, you know, dog and pony show. You can turn up your nose at God and think that somehow God's just limited to this kind of quarter mile sort of circumference around the church. But I'd like to share with you, if you fall into this trap... what will either be the most encouraging thing you will ever hear or the most convicting thing you will ever hear. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, God said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Now, if you love the Lord, man, that's gold. That is terrific, right? God's never going to leave me. This is great. But if you're living a double life, God's never going to leave me. Yeah, I can't leave him back there, that he's the one that sees what I do when I get off work early and I go over to this place and I, yeah, he knows. He knows. And some people, I think it's so silly, they think they're right with God because they put it over on me. That's easy to put it over on me. But I'm the least of your problems. At judgment day, God isn't going to look at me and go, "Scott, do you think they belong in the kingdom of God? Oh, Lord, I loved them. They thought that they always said all the right things at the door." No, only one person's opinion is going to matter at judgment day. It ain't mine. You got bigger fish to fry, my friend, than putting it over on the pastor. So, again, so important for us to understand. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And that sounds scary at first, but there's a positive side. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap from the Spirit. God is going to do a work within your life that is going to absolutely blow your mind. You're going to grow. You're going to become like Jesus. You're going to be not only blessed yourself, you're going to be a blessing to other people. Because this sowing and reaping principle, understand something, it happens every day. It happens every day in our lives. What you put into your heart and your life is what you're going to get out of your heart and your life. You know, do you take the time to sow into the soil of your heart God's word on a regular basis? Well, the more you do that, the more you're going to see good fruit come out of that. Do you sow into your heart individual time where you just connect and commune with God and share your heart with Him and develop that closeness and intimacy? Man, you're going to reap incredible benefits that come out of that. You know, do you ever share your faith, even, you know, with the office skeptic, even with non-believers? You know, well, what possible good could come to my heart from all of that? Well, understand something. It's not just for their benefit. I'll tell you, I have learned more about the Word of God by being shot down by a skeptic, not getting the answer right sometimes, than I have when I had the answer and laid it out. Sometimes when I've had to say, you know, that's a really good question. I need to go back and look into that. Boy, it's ended up blessing my heart because I was out there enough to have my faith challenged. Same thing will happen to you. Whatever you sow, that you're going to reap. If you sow God's unconditional love in your relationships, you know, you're going to reap some great things. You're going to reap a line of people in your wake in this life that one day are going to rise up and call you blessed, even if they don't get it right off the top. They're going to look at you and go, wow, there is a person who is a real blessing. You know, I heard a lot about those Christian hypocrites, but that person sure wasn't one of them. Wouldn't you want that to be true about your life? It's all about sowing and reaping. Now, Fred Allen, as I mentioned on a number of occasions, the famous comedian, said the problem with too many people is that we sow our wild oats 6 days a week and then come to church and pray for crop failure. You can sow and reap the other side, either for corruption or everlasting life. Your choice. Paul says, pick a side, because that's what you're doing. Now, notice something. We don't want to react then, okay? Because false doctrine comes in, because false doctrine on the one side of the coin says to us, this and this, that we all know I'm going over here on the other side. I will openly confess that I've been a victim of that in my walk with God. You know, not long after I got saved, I started going to a church that was pastored by a guy who was a very gifted evangelist. He was a very gifted evangelist, but he wasn't really the greatest pastor in the world because the flock was kind of unruly. And by unruly, this is what I mean. You would go to this church and sometimes this guy would stand up there and he would give a salvation message. And he was so good at that, man. Every altar call, he was so convicting. Myself, my best friend, and my brother, man, we'd come forward every week because, man, what he said applied to us. And it was so powerful, you see. But there were times where things would kind of get a little, well, charismaniac out, a little out of control, kind of circus sort of stuff. And it was like, what was that? I have no idea. And you just never knew from service to service what was going on. Well, lo and behold, one day my dad comes up to me. My dad, the skeptic, right? And he says to me, hey, I'd like to go to church with you sometime. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. What a great answer to prayer. And then I thought, oh, no. What if it's crazy time? My dad grew up in the Episcopalian church, right? They have something in the Episcopalian order that tells you, you may breathe now. That's how structured and ordered this stuff is. So my dad's coming to me to church. It's like the Sunday evening service, and I'm praying, like, please, Lord, help him to behave, help him to behave. Help my dad hear the gospel. Help him to behave, help him to behave, help him to behave. We get there, right? It's announcements. Announcements, right? The least spiritual part of any church service. You know, the thing where the only people who care about announcements are someone who wants something announced, and the rest say, yeah, get on with it. I know, because I've done announcements everywhere I've gone. But they were doing announcements, right? I'm sitting there in the back row with my dad, and this lady is sitting in front of us, and she's wearing this big floral print Hawaiian muumuu. And she's right in front of my dad. And right during announcements, she stands up, and she swings her arms back. My dad has to duck. And she starts yelling out in tongues like a stuck pig. She's just screaming. It's announcements, for goodness sake. I'm sitting there in the pew, and every muscle in my neck has contracted. I am staring right at that communion cup holder going, oh, no. I had my Job moment. That which I greatly feared had come to pass. And as I stared at that cup holder, I managed to tilt my neck over just a little bit. And my dad has got his arms folded and this German scowl on his face. And he is just shaking his head like, what kind of a circus is this? I walked out of that church service that night. And I had what I called my Scarlett O'Hara moment. Remember Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind? With God as my witness, I will never be hungry again, her famous quote. I walked out of that with the Scarlett O'Hara moment. I said, with God as my witness, I will never be humiliated like that in church ever again. Ever. And so you know what I did? Instead of sitting down there and looking at the gifts of the Spirit and looking at decently in order and finding a place like Calvary Chapel where you can do both, I just said, forget it. And you know what I did? I went out and found a church where they said, oh, no worries, that stuff died with the last apostle. Everything that happens is right there in your church program. And that's where I hung out. Not because I was convinced scripturally that these things were true, but because I was reacting to that woman in her floral print Hawaiian muumuu yelling out, and in my mind, driving my dad farther away from receiving the gospel. Now, I don't excuse that woman's behavior. And there's an awful lot of things that go on in churches in the name of the move of the Spirit that are very, very much like that. I get that. But my decision to embrace certain churches that taught the doctrine of cessationism, that the gifts of the Spirit died with the last apostle, did not come from a careful study of God's Word. It came from my own hurt feelings. I reacted. Instead of responding and saying, well, okay, what does the Scripture really say about this? And boy, if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. You know, what Paul is saying here is, look, you know, don't reject teachers just because you've had bad teachers. And don't buy into false doctrine just because you've gotten into false doctrine on the other side. Here's what you do. You follow Jesus. You follow Jesus.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.